So good morning, everyone. So glad that you're here. It's such an honor, and especially if you are our guest here or you're watching via live stream, I welcome you personally. Glad that you're here. This day is a great startup because not only are we here to just highlight our theme for this year, which is making a difference. That is our theme. So as we take a look at that theme, how that looks, what that's all about, we're dealing with the beauty with which God's going to use each and every one of us. So we're going to start just directing our attention and our focus. What is that like? By using a great example, his name is Abraham. If you find the back of your bulletin, you'll find where there's a place to follow along, not only the notes, you who are watching live stream, those notes will pop on your screen, but make notes, take down, jot those things that kind of make an impact upon you, because here we go. Today's message, again, the series, Making a Difference, but Leaving a Lasting Impression. That's the message. We're looking at the book of Genesis. Can you find Genesis? I hope you can. Very first book in the Bible. We're going to chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 1. It's interesting to note because our study of the life of Abraham in these next few weeks that we'll be together, it's an interesting pursuit because God uses Abraham in such a unique way with his life that he definitely makes a difference because three monotheistic religions can attribute their beginnings with Abraham, and that is Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Mono meaning one, these religions that pursue one God. It's interesting, and not only that, that Abraham's called the father of faith. We could say, wow, there's an amazing thing. What did God do to use his life to make a difference? A lasting impression. And so for us today, we're starting off by seeing some things in his own calling, what God does. Many of us have experienced a call. It may have been a call just for you to be here at Hope Chapel, being there watching what's happening here right there where you're at. And with that calling, sometimes individuals lose a little bit of the sense of the adventure in their walk with the Lord or joy with the Lord. There's a call, it's very real, but man, where's the adventure and all that? Where's the, Lord, what's next for me? Well, we want to take a look at that. Sometimes we can forget that it's just go for the ride. Enjoy that. Hey, in Christ, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, our destination, we know where that is. It's secure. It's in heaven. We know where we're going to land up. But how about the rest of the way? Let's just enjoy the ride. There could be some turns along the bend. There could be some glitches, some adversity, maybe heartache, those hairpin turns, adjust a few things. But don't let that distract you. I remember inviting my whole family. We're going to Knott's Berry Farm when my children were very young and my son Luke, age 6. I couldn't wait for them to experience Knott's Berry Farm, where I experienced as a young child the exploits of Knott's Berry Farm. And so we hopped on the train. The train takes off. Luke looks at me, Dad, when are we getting there? I said, getting where? He said, wherever we're going. I said, we're going nowhere. We're just taking a ride. I said, why? Dad, why would we get on a train? We're not going anywhere. Wait a minute. You just enjoy the ride, Luke. And I felt like the Lord told me that a long time ago. Paul, don't try to go from one destination to the next episode. Try to enjoy the journey. How about even today? What does God have for you today? Enjoy that journey. So we take a look at that. Here we have Abraham. We're going to follow his journey. There's going to be things, I trust, that you'll say, wow, I can experience something similar to that. That's kind of where my life is at. I like the fact that when Pastor Zach, isn't he amazing how he's starting us off with our local and global outreach? When Pastor Zach came and spoke to our young adults in October, I have the date, it was the 23rd, 2017, he spoke the message, The Great Adventure. I thought, wow, I'm looking back at those notes. I'm sure I can use something. And he cited a man. His name is Nate Saint. He said, Christians don't need a call. They need a kick in the pants. Boom. So that kick in the pants, maybe there'd be a little bit of a resurrection going on here right now. Let's take a look. Lord, thank you as we see with spiritual eyes. Help us to see and to hear clearly. We don't approach this book thinking we're just going to read it intellectually. Lord, this is a living, breathing document. Help that to come alive to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at verse 1. Verse 1, Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. If you take a note there, he's 75 years old when he gets his call. Now, that's very encouraging for me, isn't it? As I start to age, doesn't matter. Age is not, should not be a factor for any one of us. And he's called Abram because God's going to give him a new name, Abraham, eventually. But in this text, everything starts off fresh and new. Let's take a look here. So as we begin, so Abram departed, verse 4, as the Lord spoke to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. As they came to the land of Canaan, and Abram passed through the land in the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree in Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Let's begin our journey. Point number one, God's word leads to faith. God's word. If you look at verse 1 again, verse 1 through 3, but look at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram. That's important. God now is speaking to Abram. That is rare. There was like this eerie silence. God was not speaking. The last time we have in Scripture where God spoke was to Noah. You say, well, I think God spoke in other areas. Well, he may have, but it was through judgment. The flood, Tower of Bethel, and we have that all of a sudden, God speaks now to Abram. And when in dealing with that, we look at something that he says to Abram. He says, get out of your country. Now, I think that's worth noting. It's not that typical, hi, I am God, and I think I know who you are. So it's right away, there's a directive. God gives a command. He's going to give several promises with that. But God takes time to speak to him. There's several elements in this story, but I want to fashion a few of them. And there really is a principle that you and I recognize, as you are, so many of us, just journeying and knowing what it is to, what does it mean to be a person of faith? Well, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes, that verse says, by hearing and hearing the word of God. So even as we're reading it, taking a look at that, God starts to build faith in you. God speaks to Abraham. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. Wow. And in that, it's interesting because the first impression, and God starts to say, this is what I want you to do, get out of what you know, that environment, those influential individuals, I'm taking you out of something to bring you into something. Now, if you are here with us and you hear this, this is really a pattern that God uses often. God calls us. And we use the word repent. In other words, let's change a little bit. God's going to lead us into a very fruitful or full life. It's important for us because our past and our relationships and our environment can really hold us down from what God has for us. God's going to promise some things to Abraham, but I'm just addressing things in my own life. He would say things when he speaks to people like he did in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. You may want to write that down. 16:24, Matthew, when he says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me." Verse 25, he says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever desires to lose his life for my sake will actually save it." So it's interesting, the first words God speaks want you to leave your country, leave your family, leave your father's house. That environment can threaten what I'm about to do in your life. So for you who says, "Man, I've never really gotten much out of God. I really have." Has he spoken to you to say, "You know, really hanging on to the past here, you're not really going to acquire anything because I've already spoken to you"? You know, he does that quite often. "Paul, lay this down because I've got even greater for you." You know, and there's an element there that is requiring us to step forward and say, "Okay, Lord, I trust." So letter A, God's commands, very real. Letter B starts talking about promises. Now I see a lot of Christians, they don't really have a sense of adventure or joy because they're so gripped with their past. But I like taking a look at how God starts to lay out the promises. See, that's when your life, like Abraham, starts to make a difference in your environment. Isn't it interesting, if you look here at verse 2, we're still there in verse 2, "I will make you a great nation." These are his promises. "I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Now, that's an amazing thing. This preacher named Joseph Parker said this: great lives are trained on great promises. You and I will never form anything unless we get it from God. What kind of promises are in it for me? I mean, God knows that. Someone tabulated there is over 3,100 promises in this book for you. It's a pretty amazing thing. That's why how Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, man, as newborn babes, that newness, newborn babes, the desire the sincere milk of the word that you can grow thereby. There's some great promises. You take a look at God's promises here to Abram. Get out, leave. Wow, okay, what's in it for me? I will. And God uses "I will" five times. There's five times, "I will. I will do this." Now, that's an amazing declaration. Because if you've been around individuals that kind of wonder, well, that's why I may not want to be a Christian or kind of like get into church because there's all this dues and I've got to give up stuff. Listen, God lays out some pretty marvelous promises. May require you to say, "Got to set this down to enter into what God has." John Kennedy, our president, is noted for a lot of great things, but one of his famous sayings back in the 60s still resonates today. He says, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you could do for your country." And a lot of people think that's what Christianity is all about. Well, that's why, you know, I'm going to come to God, and now he's going to ask me to do something for him. That's not really true. That's not really true. He's already done a lot on Calvary's cross, and now you are a recipient of the blessings. If you can get into this book, you can read this book, if something hits the fan with you and say, "Man, that's mine." It's either something as seen in the scriptures where God's word leads to faith. God's commands will come, but it's only to bring you into the promises. So we have here in verse 2, I will make you a great nation. That's what he's going to do for him. I'm going to do something for you, Abe, and make you a great nation. Then he says, I'm going to bless you. That's what he's going to do in him. I like the word blessed. My definition is your life's just going to work out. It's just going to work out. Well, when? How? Man, just enjoy the ride. Wait till you see it all like a tapestry later. It's going to be like, wow, I wish I could go do it all again. And then he comes along, I will bless you. And then he says, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's what I'm going to do through you. That's the highlight of making a difference where you live, who you live with, what you're involved with. Wouldn't it be great to make a lasting impression? So as we look here, it's a beautiful thing. One of the notes of just giving my life to Jesus was recognizing he actually does love me. I thought, wow, because everything else kind of portrayed its religious approach that if it didn't go to Mass properly, man, I'm in big trouble. But I love how in 1 John 4:19 that we love him because he first loved us. It's like, Lord, I love you. I love what you're doing. And that great nation, I'll make you a great nation. Now, it's interesting. I could just see God laughing just a little bit, couldn't you? It's like, because God knows his wife, Sarai, is infertile. There's not one child yet. It's like, okay, what kind of a joke is this? But we know so clearly, it's amazing because out of that, Arabs and Jews all trace their lineage back to Abraham. It was cited when the Babylonians, a study shows, the Babylonian captivity that took place in 586 BC, it just whittled down the population of little Israel. Now, what took place later on when the Roman Empire took place, the first century, that the population consisted of one out of every 10 were Jews in Rome. So a nation is not a geographical location. And it's like from one person, that's just how it is, families flourish. So it's amazing. Abraham eventually has Isaac and Ishmael. And Isaac has Jacob. Jacob has 12 boys, and out of that, just these a slew of kids, and boom, off we go. So, it's interesting. We take a look and see the blessing that God is going to bring through his family. We know is ultimately the Messiah. Jesus is brought in through somebody's lineage, and Abraham is the one. So, the point is that God wants not only to bless you, make sure that you are a blessing to others. I love that aspect. So how are you doing hearing God's word? Because he may be saying something or has been saying something to you. Say, listen, I've got so much more for you. He does. And just in case you're not interested or haven't seen it lately, he put it in a volume so that you could go ahead and just check out these love letters that are here for you. Let's do it. Let's enjoy it. So the principle hasn't changed. God speaks a word. You obey. It's a wonderful thing to take a look at. If in fact, Sunday mornings are your only intake of the Word of God, then I tell people, then you're in intensive care. It's called ICU. We're trying to revive you. Like, I hope he brings something on. Come on, preacher, do something. Like, how about taking in the Word of God, 3,000 promises. Number two, faith leads to obedience. Letter A, Abram believes. It's interesting here when we take a look at verse 4, it says, so Abram departed. That means he obeyed. He took off. God says, leave. I'm going. Decides to leave, and he's 75 years old when he does so. Wow. Did he know where he is going? God just says, I'm going to show you where you're going. But I'm not going to tell you. It's Hebrews 11, verse 8. If you just check out Hebrews 11, 8, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance and went out not knowing where he was going. Can you see Abraham and his family and the moving camels pull up? You got your luggage? You ready to go? Got the furniture? Yeah, here comes more vans. Where are you going, Abe? I do not know. Doesn't it sound a little idiotic? I was like, you don't have any direction? Nope, not even a GPS. My smartphone won't take a charge. So you can imagine here is completely by faith. Letter B, Abram went. So faith leads to obedience. It's an amazing thing. You could be, and I could be, the most learned people about the scriptures, but it's got to be put into action. If you're going to make a difference this year, you cannot just say, I've got faith because I've learned the word. James 2, 17 says that. Says, brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying that you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? Such faith is dead. So would you consider what it is that God's maybe speaking to you? Maybe for some it may be an extra service during the week where you get involved with a life group. Maybe for others it says, man, I'm going to jump online and see when the next Nails in His Hands group is going. Maybe where our next outreach is going to happen. So God's promised some things. How about when you read the promise in the book? What do you or I do with that? Some might say, well, I just underline that, Pastor Paul. Well, maybe needing to be something more. Or I memorize. Oh, that's good. It's a good start. How about putting it to action? Doing something with that. It's an adventure when that happens. It's an adventure when that happens. Letter three, obedience leads to blessing. Letter A, greater presence of God. If you look here at verse 6, and Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree in Moriah. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Now, that's an interesting insert. The Holy Spirit inserts. The Canaanites, by the way, are where you're going to be living. The Canaanites were their enemies, bad people, into Baal worship, Ashtoreth worship. They were willing to sacrifice their children for their gods. They were troublemakers, vindictive people. It's kind of like God's going to give me something. Oh, yeah, by the way, there's a rough crowd going to be living all around you. Some people work hard to live behind gated communities. Ooh, I've arrived at the promised land. But the world needs you to make a difference. So God's going to send them right there and make a difference. But we see something here, verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram. That's an amazing thing. Letter A, a greater presence. Remember verse 1, God speaks to him. He puts his faith into action. He departs. I'm going. He gets there. What's next? And God appears. That's what it says. God appears to him. I don't know if it's an aberration. I don't know if it's some incredible display right in front of him. I don't know. But God appears to him. Something about when you say, I'm going to go with what I feel God's asking me to do. Incredible. Making a difference. Lord, will you be there? And he starts to show up. I think there's a significant reality. It's biblical. James 4, verse 8 says, if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. Try it. Spend some time. Don't check out of the house too quick to get the journey accomplished. Spend time drawing near to God. Hebrews 11, verse 6, God is a rewarder. Hebrews 11, 6, of those who diligently seek him. And letter B, greater promises. You're going to make a difference. Isn't it interesting? And the Lord appeared to Abram, it says, to your descendants, I will give this land. That's a pretty amazing thing. Now everybody's going to be a part of this. See, isn't it wonderful how rich we are? Really blessed. Kind of a relative term, because if you have $5 in your pocket, you're probably a rich person compared to somebody in Central America. But it's pretty powerful when God says, I want to bless you. And oh yeah, yeah. I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. And part of that blessing is that when people become a little jealous of you and they see how nice your life is and how put together you are, that you get a chance to say, you know, it really is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Through you, Abe, the Messiah is going to come. Through you, dear friends, as people are a little jealous of you, say it's because of Jesus. I'm able to hold my life together. And in the midst of those bends and twists and uncertainties, the ups and the down ticks, man, I'm still able to just say to you, man, because of Jesus, my life is held together. So God gets very real with us. And it's going to be an exciting journey making a difference this year. Let me pray. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. So grateful for the way that you work in our lives and how you continue to just help us in so many phenomenal pursuits. But Lord, just seems like this year is your year where you want us to cooperate with what you have for those that we know, our community, and even beyond. Lord, we want to say we trust you. Lord, we want to be able to say, help us in putting our faith into action. Because we know you want to bring your fresh, living life to those that are confused, that are hurting, that needs some spark of interest and hope. Lord, help us to make a difference this year. To those individuals, we're here, but there are others that need to be here. And we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Let's sing this song, and I'll be back to pray with you. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's enjoy his presence together. Today, Beautiful Sunday. Great city. You've come to the right place to just start your week off right. Way to give your time to the Lord. Let me pray you off a blessing. One of the things that's so exciting about our theme, just watching together what God's going to be doing in you. He wants to bless you. I'm confident in that. Just check out the cross. Man, he did everything he can to just streamline his presence and his kingdom for your life. And then through you, seeing things that he deposits into your care, just joy once again, or peace, or resources. Isn't it great? But it all starts because of our faith in Jesus. And just as you close your eyes, just for a moment, if you're here and you've not started your journey, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, but you know it's where the Lord's led you right now to say, I need to give my life to him. Eyes still closed, but would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that is me. I need to give my life to God. I hear him clearly to surrender more fully. Thank you. Go ahead and put that hand down. Anyone else? Okay, good, good. How many are just saying, I need to recommit my life to the Lord? It's really, I've just not really transferred. Okay, go ahead, put the hand down. Thank you. Anyone else? Just, I'm ready to just commit more to him. God's working on you. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's a beautiful thing to not feel as you leave the chapel today that, well, you're on your own again. God wants to be an abiding part with you. Let me lead us in a prayer, and I'm just trusting for you who are watching live stream. This is your time as well to just invite Christ into your life. This prayer goes like this. Let's all pray it together for the sake of those three hands. We'll do that right now. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of the world, and that you died for me, and that you rose to life again. All for me. And right now, O Lord, I confess all my sins. Wash me clean. Make my heart able to be pure, to hear your voice, to walk with you all the way to heaven. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking these things. Amen. So excited for you. And thank you for you who have raised your hands. And if you're watching via live stream, would you go ahead on that link and just say, hey, now
I want to thank you for
connected.
Joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.
Because you're with us and you'll never leave us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, everybody. God bless you. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.